Good morning, everyone. My name is Ethan, and today I'll be reading the Bible for us. Today we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I'll give you guys a moment to pull it up on your Bible apps or your physical copies, but if not, it'll just be on the screen behind me. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, in which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'll now hand it over to Reverend Winston, who will give us the sermon for today.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. And be one of the pastors here at this church, and we're going to look at we just heard a great passage from the Bible, and it speaks to the very heart of what we Christians believe, and it's the very reason why our six candidates this morning have been baptized, is because they were once dead, but they've been made alive in Christ, and that is an awesome thing. It'd be helpful if you wanted to pull your phones out, look up, plug in BibleGateway.com and look up the passage, Ephesians chapter 2, and you can follow along and see what the passage is saying as I preach. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord, we rejoice at the salvation of these people this morning who have declared in front of us that they want to follow Jesus, that they trust in Jesus, they want to follow Jesus. Father, we just commit them to you. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit will dwell within them the whole of their lives until they meet you in heaven, Lord. Father, for all of us now, as we think about this for ourselves, will you teach us? Help us to understand what has just happened, Lord. Help us to consider it for ourselves now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited at what has happened today. It's one of the best days in church to see people declare in front of us that they belong to Jesus, and they belong to Jesus for the rest of eternity. And baptism is a symbol, as we've heard, of God's saving grace in these people's lives. It's essentially these people saying, I belong to Jesus now. I was once dead in my sins, but because of Jesus, my sins have been washed away. And I'm forgiven, and I'm saved, and I've been made alive in Christ. Now, if you're new to church, or if you're new to Christianity, you might be asking, why do we need to be saved? And what are we being saved from? And hopefully you're asking, do I need to be saved? Well, this passage has a lot to say about all of that, because it tells us why all of us, why you, why me, why we need to be saved. And it's going to tell you how you can be saved. Now, passage opens up in verse 1 by telling us we all have a serious problem. And so a serious problem that we need saving from. And this is what it says. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, is speaking to the Ephesians, the Christians, and saying, you were once dead. But this really is for all of humanity. We were all once dead, and perhaps some of us are still dead. Why? Because of our transgressions and sins, it says. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. The result of transgressions and sins is death, it says. Now, that's a pretty full-on statement, right? That's a very full-on statement. And probably some of you are thinking, wait, that's not me. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a transgressor. I'm a good person. You know, I've maybe told a few fibs, but I'm a good person, and if there's a heaven, I deserve to go to heaven. Now, I don't want to judge you, and I want to think the best of you. And, you know, when you think about people around you, and maybe you are a good person, and I can give you that. Compared to others, perhaps you're a good person. Perhaps compared to most people, you're a good person. That might be true. But if we assess the human race, if, you know, when we think about human history and collectively look at what humanity has done, what the human race has done, we've caused so much chaos, haven't we? We've caused so much destruction and violence to our planet, to each other. And there's barely been a day in human history where there hasn't been some sort of war and conflict, where there's been actually true peace. We rape the planet of its resources. We use those resources to build weapons. We use it for our own comfort and pleasure. And day to day, we barely even have any conscious thought about what we're doing often. And if we're honest, when we reflect on that, we have to say, well, you know, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of some of the problems that is going on in our planet, in our world. Now, individually, some of us try to be better. We try to be less greedy. We try to consume less. We try to use renewable energy. We try to look after the planet. We try to have peace. But the trajectory of humanity, when we see what's happening, is that it's going down. It's going down, down, and down. And the news keeps reminding us that global warming is going to be a global catastrophe unless we try and turn it around now. You know, and wars just keep coming. And Ukraine, Russia, etc., Israel, you know, Palestine. And then they think that, you know, one day soon, maybe China. When will wars ever end? And that is because we, as human beings, are inherently selfish and greedy and proud. We've all transgressed, haven't we? We've all sinned. Now, it's not just that we've done bad things, but at the heart of our transgressions and sins is the one who we've transgressed and sinned against. And the Bible says that's God. That's the God who's the creator, the one who made you, who made this planet that we live on. And we haven't lived God's way. We haven't obeyed God. We haven't followed God. And sin is essentially us ignoring God, the God who made us, and saying to God, I don't want to live your way. I just want to live the way that I want to live. Thank you very much. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this part of the Bible, is saying to us, this rejecting of God, rejecting of God's ways, has made us dead, spiritually dead. In other words, our relationship with God is dead. It's broken. That is the effect of our transgressions and sins. It has completely destroyed our capacity to accept God, to love God, to relate to God. And this is what sin does. Sin pulls us away from God and it ruins our relationship with God. It makes us spiritually dead. And if that's not bad enough, God's assessment continues. Verse 2, it says, "You followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air." It's saying you followed the world, you followed the devil. And I don't know if you agree with that if you're new to church, but I think that's what we've all done, right? It's so easy to follow the world, isn't it? We do it without barely thinking. It's so easy every day to follow the things of this world, and we barely even give conscious thought to it, chasing after all these desires that the world says, this is good. This is where happiness is. Chase after this. You want this. And we do it. We'd barely even think about it, but we do it. And we end up doing what it says in verse 3. We gratify the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Now, I don't want to preach at you here, because when I reflect on these verses, that's me too. You know, I do this. I gratify the cravings of my sinful nature, and I follow these desires, these thoughts, so influenced by the world, and I barely think about it. That's me as well. We do that. I'm tempted by so many things of this world every day. And yeah, there's sometimes I think I've got to do better. I want to do better. I want to be less greedy. I want to be less selfish. I want to be more helpful and loving to this planet, to the world. But I every day I just struggle with it. And this is the heart of the problem of the human condition. We're so easily influenced by the world, and it's because of sin, the sin within us. Sin is when we say, I don't care about you, God. I don't care about how you want me to live. I'll chase after what I want, thanks. And verse 3 says, you know, all of us were once like that. Every single one of us. We were once lost in our own ways, and we were spiritually dead. Now that's a pretty full-on bleak assessment of what humanity is like, isn't it? But that's not the end of it. It gets even more serious, right? And this gets to the very heart of what we need to be saved from. Our sin is a problem, and it causes us to mess up the world and mess up our relationships around us, but there's a greater problem. And at the end of verse 3, it says this, we are by nature objects of wrath. Whose wrath are we talking about here? You see, because of our sin, God is angry at us. God is not merely unhappy with us, he's angry with us. Our pride, our greed, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our chasing after what we want, ignoring God, rebelling against God, not choosing God's way. And God says, well, that's wrong. And I can't just sweep that under the cup. I can't just let that go and just pretend that never happened. Because God is a just God. Now, we all understand that, don't we? Because we want justice ourselves. We like justice. You know, if someone hurts somebody that you loved, you want justice done. You don't want to be swept under the carpet, do you? Well, God's just like that, isn't he? When he sees God is just and he's perfectly righteous. And he says, no, I must be angry. If I am truly just and righteous, I can't help but be angry with that. I must do something about it. And so his judgment is coming. And so what do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from God. From a God who is angry at us. Now you might be asking, hang on a second, Winston, like how can that happen? How can that happen? How can it possibly, how can we be saved from God himself? If God is angry at us, who can stop God from unleashing his anger upon us? I mean, we try, don't we? Sometimes we try. Oh, we try to be better. God, like, I'll try to be better. But we keep failing. We keep sinning. We're still selfish and greedy and self-centered, and we struggle and we fail and we fall short against God's standard. Like, compared to others, some of us think we're good, but when we compare ourselves to God, we all fall short. We can't do it. We can't reach the standard which God expects of us. And that's why we're spiritually dead. And it's because of that we don't have the power within ourselves to save us from God. We can't reach that standard in our own strength. We need somebody outside of us to help us, who's got the power and the strength to do what we can't do. And this is the wonderful and beautiful message of Christianity, and this is what these six people have put their faith in this morning and declared to us all. Yes, I'm saved not within myself, from myself in my own strength, but because of Jesus. He died for me, for my sins. He took my place and took the anger and the punishment that I deserved. And because of Jesus, I'm saved. And I once was dead, but now I am alive. I'm alive because my sins have been washed away, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. Verse 4 says, I love this passage, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So we see it's out of love, out of God's love for you. And I want to remind you and remember this, candidates who have been baptized this morning. Always remember God's love for you. Never forget it. His great love for you. He loved you so much that he gave his son for you. It is amazing love and it's amazing power to crush the sin in your life, to give you the power to be right with God, to enter into a good relationship with God once again. And it's an amazing grace. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you couldn't get yourself out of it. You needed somebody to pull you out of that really bad situation. And maybe that's some of you even right now. You're in this situation and it's really bad. Some of you have heard this story before. I've told this before in previous sermon. I was wanting to learn how to surf. And I went surfing for the very first time with a couple of my mates at DY Beach. And one of them was pretty experienced, had, you know, been surfing for about 10 years at that point. Anyway, got to DY Beach. I'm not a strong swimmer. I looked at the surf and go, man, it's looking pretty rough today. And I was about to chicken out, to be honest. Like, I'm like, man, this is not going to be fun. A bit scared. But I thought, you know, I don't want to chicken out in front of my mates. So I gave it a crack. I got on the board and I started to paddle out. And my mate Mick said, just follow me, do what I do. When the wave comes, you've got to duck down below the wave, come up. So I'm doing that. I'm paddling out, think I'm doing okay. But, you know, further we get out, the waves seem to like be stronger and bigger. I'm like, oh man, what's going on? I'm getting scared. And then I see like this huge wave coming. I'm going, Mick, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. He's just like, just dump your board and just go under. Like, I'm like, what do you mean go? I'm not, no way. Bam. And I just get smashed. And I don't know if you know about surfing. You have this leg rope tied to the board. So the board stays afloat, but I'm under the water and the board's just dragging me. It's so powerful, the wave. Just dragging me. I'm dragging me. And it's like, when am I ever going to get a breath? And finally I get a breath and then bam, another wave hits me. And then again, I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden, I feel this hand just grab me and help me get back on the board. My mate Mick saved my life, right? He got me on the board. He pushed me onto a wave and just pushed me back to shore. And I just remember lying there, like on the sand, just going, man, I'm alive. I can't believe it. And that was literally my mate who saved me, right? I could have been like dead that day. And friends, this is exactly what God does for us. This is what grace is about, guys. You couldn't save yourself, but God reached down and grabbed you. Take my son Jesus. He's going to do everything for you. He's going to save you completely. You couldn't save yourself. You were dead. You were powerless. But out of God's great love for you, he sends his son Jesus. He says, I will take the punishment for you. I will take God's anger for you. Did God suddenly ignore your sins? No. He says, my son will deal with it. The sin must be punished. Someone's got to take the punishment. And Jesus takes it for us. He dies for our sins. Your sins, my sins, and God's anger is gone when he looks at us. And he says, I love you. You're right now. You're my child now. You're with me forever. You're saved by the grace that's been given to you through my son, Jesus. And that is God's grace. We were dead, but because of God's grace, we have been saved. Verse 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This, my friends, is the very bedrock of what we Christians believe. We are saved by grace. We've got nothing to boast in. We can't say that we're better than anyone else, that we're more deserving than anyone else. When we look at others, we can't say, I'm better than you, I should get to heaven. No, we see the reality. We're saved completely by grace. And so two things I really want us all to walk away with this morning. Firstly, none of us have anything to be proud of, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. None of us have anything to be proud of. We can't boast in anything in regards to our salvation. We can't say, oh, I'm better than you or you or you. No, all of us are in this same, we have the same problem and we need to be saved out of the same problem. We ought to always be humble. We bring nothing to our salvation. We haven't deserved our salvation. We haven't earned our salvation. It is absolutely a gift from God. Not by our own hands. Not by our own effort to be better. That can't save us. But only by the grace of God. So to all of you who are baptized this morning, stay humble. Stay humble in your life. Remember never to be proud. And share this salvation with everyone around you. And remember you were once in that same situation. Imagine that day if I went surfing and, after getting pummeled and pummeled and pummeled. And then, I saw my friend's hand and I said, oh, don't worry about it. I got this. And I smashed his hand away, right? I got this. Nah. Honestly, I would have been dead that day or probably waking up to some lifeguard, trying to breathe into my lungs or something, right? I would not, honestly, so stay humble. remember God's salvation, his love for you. Secondly, be grateful. Like, live a life that says, thank you, God. You've given, declared, you say, you belong to Jesus now. Now give, like, truly. Walk what you've just accepted. Live what you've just accepted in your life by being grateful. Live a life that says, thank you, God. Now, what does that look like? Well, verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So live your life for Jesus now. Live for him. Truly live for him. Do good. Share the good news with others. Serve God with all your heart and mind, soul and strength. Follow God and obey him and do his will in this world. Stop following the world now, but follow Jesus. Obey him. And for all of us here in this room, all of you who are visiting today, I want to say God's message of salvation is for you as well. I don't know if you have any experience with Christianity, you know what Christianity is about, but I want to say this baptism, this declaring of God's salvation is a symbol of God's work, powerful work of salvation, and it's yours as well, can be yours as well. That offer is there for you. God is saying to you this morning, here is a gift. Grace is a gift. You didn't earn it, deserve it, work for it, but here is the offer, God says, and he holds his hand out to you. What will you do? Will you swipe it away and say, don't worry, I got this? Well, God says, come. I love you, and that's why I've sent my son Jesus for you. Will you accept my love? Will you accept this grace and be saved? Be alive and truly know who the God who made you is. So I want to encourage you and I urge you to put your trust in Jesus this morning and take hold of this gift for yourself. Thank you for coming this morning and celebrating this awesome day with us. But if you want to know who Jesus really is and how to be saved through him, then I'd love to talk to you after this. Come and chat with me. I'd love to talk to you, or any of the other pastors would love to talk to you about this. How you can be made alive in Jesus. How you can accept this gift of salvation. And we've got events all the time in our church. And I think we're running an Investigating Christianity course like early next year sometime. We run it 3 or 4 times a year. So I want to encourage you, like, keep coming back to church. Keep listening, keep learning, finding out if Jesus is for real. And come along to one of these courses one day and really, like, ask all the hard questions that you want to and say, like, what is going on here? Is this for real? We'll love to spend time with you and explain things as best we can to help you. Thanks for coming. And remember God's awesome gift of grace in your lives. It's there for all of us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this reminder of your great work of salvation, of Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead. And for all of us, any of us who put our trust in Jesus, Lord, we can be saved as well. We can be made alive, our sins washed away, and your anger gone from us, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room. Will you help all of us to be on this journey, to discover our own faith in Jesus ourselves? Will you have your grace upon us, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.